Welcome back to the Wizards of Econ podcast. This is episode number 347. My name is Carlos Alvarez, and I'll be your host for the show. On today's episode, we have Sam Maritani, founder of Mad Monkey Media and Two Chapters Ahead, agencies who specialize in all things social media, digital marketing, Shopify, Amazon, and YouTube. The latest bit about YouTube is what we're going to be talking about, really focusing on today. It is an area where I am focusing an inordinate amount of my resources on right now. And today we're going to be specifically talking about how brands can best leverage, or whether they should leverage, YouTube to grow their brands. Sammer, welcome to the show.
Hey, Carlos. How you doing, my man? Thanks for having me.
I am seriously jazzed. Two things, like, of my highlights for this year, one of them is connecting with you through our mutual friend, Fernando. Like,
thank you.
You're just like massive. We've not even met in person, and I feel like I get massive positive vibes from you, like great energy. And Fernando's a really good, Fernando Polania, I hope I didn't mangle his name, but Fernando's a good friend as well. And he's the same way. He's got like this Hawaiian good vibe. You know what I mean? Like good people, yes. Really good people.
Hawaiian good vibe. I love that. Fernando is the man. I love Fernando.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I describe him. I don't know where he's from, but he's like this Hawaiian good vibe. But, he introduced us, and it had to do with, within Wizards of Ecom, you know, we have this podcast, the meetup group, a YouTube, which we'll get into in a second. By the way, my hidden motive here, besides getting all of our listeners, you know, a ton of amazing, valuable information that they could use regarding YouTube for their private label brands, is also to get a free consulting session through you here on the show.
Smart, so, like, very smartly done. I like that. Ask away, ask warned. Anything you want.
So we started the Wizards of Ecom YouTube channel, and me, I'm like, I want to build a community around it. I want to like group crowdsource knowledge. So I started a track for YouTube, and Fernando, he was dormant in the group for a while, and he winds up showing, and all this guy keeps talking about is you got to meet Sammer. And every sentence I try to say, Sammer, Sammer, Sammer. So initially it was like, tired of hearing about this dude. You know what I mean? But knowing Fernando, he connects us, and it was amazing. We hit it off. You're going to be speaking at Online Seller Cruise.
Yes. Yeah, I'm really excited for that.
So that people can see how fast this unrolled. Like, we connected, what, 3 months ago? If that?
Yeah. I would say about like, yeah, even less than that, probably 2 months ago. Yeah.
Right. So 2 months ago, you're on the podcast. We have a workshop on the books for you to come down to Miami and teach a workshop. You're going to present at a meetup group on YouTube. You're going to present to Amazon sellers here in Miami. And what else? Oh, we have like Telegram chats. We got all these different ways that we're connected and learning a ton. And in our first call, you immediately dropped some knowledge on me about like timing of release of episodes. So I'm geeking out.
I love it.
So what, why do you think brands are not leveraged? I'm going to assume that you agree that they're not, but like, why do you think that brands, private label, physical product brands, are not leveraging YouTube enough?
I'd say most people are unaware how to create content for YouTube. That'd be the first thing. And then the second thing is they're not sure what type of content to create. So, you know, let's say they're selling, I don't know, flip-flops, right? You mentioned earlier, they're selling flip-flops. Well, they're going to cap at ideas. So let's say they're going to be like, okay, well, I could review my flip-flop. I could do unboxing. And I might be able to compare it with a few other flip-flops, but then what? What do I do here? So then they get stuck in some sort of analysis paralysis, and then they end up doing nothing, which is the main reason I see most brands not knowing or not actually creating content for YouTube or just social media in general.
I love that. And can we, I like to, we said flip-flops beforehand, but like, can I give you like a specific brand and a specific product that we might be able to use as an example throughout this? Yeah. My hidden thing here, by the way, you're going to meet him. He's one of my close friends, Tom Mays. You may have already connected with him in the chat.
I have connected with Tom. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Really great super guy. Close friend. Yeah. Super close friend of mine. I think he's going to advance some YouTube stuff, but you know, he's figuring some stuff out. This is also somebody who does like 10 new things a day. Right. And successfully. Right. Yes. But one of his brands, and I'm okay with saying this because he is okay with that, is in the bonsai space, right? Bonsai accessories on Amazon. Number one brand in that space. So if he wanted to create a YouTube channel for his bonsai brand on Amazon, how would you address that one point that you said about, because this is on point. I don't know what content to create.
Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, it comes back to what is he selling in the bonsai niche?
Let's say pots, the wires, the tools that go into, you know, creating a bonsai from a plant.
Cool. Awesome. So in that case, you'd find out what the audience wants to watch and what the audience does. So generally, people that are in bonsai, there's a few different people that might buy these products. Number one, people that are just getting into the bonsai industry. So if that's the case, well, then you create a bunch of how-to videos of how to do everything and anything bonsai, whether it's how to trim a plant, to crop it, to plant it inside the pots, what watering it needs, nutrients, whatever it really needs. It's what we call ASQ. So answer specific questions. So when YouTubers are going on YouTube and they're looking for something to do with their bonsai, you want to become the authority figure inside that niche. And to do that, you would put out content, knowledgeable content, valuable content that people are going to search for and find answers to. And whenever they're ready to make a purchase or ready to make a decision, you are the person that you've introduced them, you've shown them about the product, you've shown them how to do it. So it's much easier for them to convert as a client and for them to buy from you. That could also include affiliate links, that could include your own products, whatever it may be. You can put in the link in the description or throughout your video. Let's say you're doing a video on how to replant a bonsai tree. Well, throughout the video, you're like, here's what we're going to replant it. This is actually a pot that we grabbed off of our website. We sell it over there if you guys want to check it out. And it makes it much easier to replant your bonsai tree. For example, if you've created something to make it easier. So it's always just thinking about what the audience actually wants to watch and what they need, what they're looking for, the pain points, and then creating content based on solving those pain points to become the authority figure inside that niche or that area.
So very well said. Me as a total novice on YouTube and who's like learning something like shiny object, like, oh my God, I'm supposed to be doing this. And I go in a different direction. But when you said that, here I am like ready to debate you with all the experience on this, but like there's browse, like I've heard create content for browse. And then okay. The opposite of that one, which I'm drawing a blank on, is you create content for search. That's the other one.
Yes.
So in this case, the content that the bonsai brand would be building on this channel would be more. So ASQ is for search.
Correct. So you start search. That way you could get people that are already searching for you. It's much easier, right? Browse is awesome. And I'm all for browse, of course, but there's two different games when it comes to YouTube. Browse is triggering emotion and curiosity. So thumbnails, what I always say is to intrigue, and titles are to create curiosity to get the click. That's generally what it is. Sorry?
Mr. Beast. Like
Mr. Beast style, exactly. His thumbnail is super intriguing. And then his title, what makes you like kind of confirm the click by making it so curious, like curiosity driven, where you want to make a click and watch a video, right? Let's say you're just starting off on YouTube and you don't know how to do that necessarily, because there's an art to it. To actually get that down, there is a bit of an art to it. So the best thing I recommend anybody that's just starting on YouTube is to do the SAQ method, which is answer specific questions, and make sure that you're really heavy SEO, like super heavy. So SEO, search engine optimization, meaning you have to optimize keywords for your product. If you're selling bonsai trees, your description should include bonsai trees, different products of bonsai, maybe different brands, so on and so forth, to really optimize it for that. Once you start building a following and YouTube understands your audience and knows what type of people want to watch your content, again, this is everybody's different, but generally this is the best way to grow. Then you start creating titles that are clickbaity, or not necessarily clickbaity, but curiosity driven, and thumbnails that are super intriguing. For example, I did this and my bonsai stopped growing. That could be a title, right? And then the thing on the thumbnail would be something that every bonsai owner does. So now there's contrast. So it's like, wait, I do this every single day, and here you're telling me that it's killing my bonsai plant? I want to click to find out. That's going to get you crazy amount of clicks and views inside on the browse features, right? And on the homepage. But before you get there, you could be like, is this the right pot for you? Is this the right size? You know, you could use vidIQ to find out what people are searching for about bonsai trees, and then creating videos specifically for what people are searching for. Once you start picking up in the algorithm, you're also getting, another thing is that search converts way higher as a client than a browse. Right? Browse is someone that is given, like an ad, given a video to watch. Search is like, I made the decision to click on this video and to search and to click and to watch. 80% of people go on YouTube to learn something new, and they go into searches. right? So if you could cater to those people searching for your product, specifically using SEO titles and thumbnails at first, you will get the core audience, the people that are going to buy from you, the people that are going to keep coming back, watching more content to learn more from you. It's like, if I ask you, Carlos, right now, if you've ever been into something that you just learned, let's say YouTube, do you ever get obsessed about it and go and watch like 30, 40 videos on YouTube about it and kind of learn and grow from there?
Absolutely.
That's pretty much what we want to do. We want to create this session time, this loop, infinite loop of people coming back to your channel and always watching valuable information. You become that go-to guy for bonsai trees, right? And if you build that authority, then after that, you could create random ideas, random thumbnails. I started the same thing with my channel, two chapters ahead. I started with ASQ questions, how to add chapters to your YouTube channel, how to change your name on your channel, so on and so forth. On vidIQ, I noticed it was hundreds of thousands of searches a month for it, but not many people creating videos about it. So it was a no-brainer for me. I created it. It took me not too long. And then I published a video, and the videos did very, very well, right? So yeah, ASQ is probably the best way to start. And then from there, move on to different things. So let's say, again, no matter what niche you get into, there's always the frequently asked questions about that topic that you could create videos about.
So that would be how to approach one of the reasons why people are not creating, brands are not creating YouTube channels. Like, they don't know what to create. So ASQ solves that. What was the other one you mentioned?
The other reason why they don't create is they don't know what to create.
Their ability behind content creation.
Correct. So creating the content itself.
You know, I didn't think you were going to say that. And then it made me think about when Amazon Live Video first came out, there was this really cool article because the number one video was this guy. He had a brand of banana hangers. So it looks like this little loop that you see, like those cloud chairs floating on, that has a chain coming down in people's backyards. But this one, you just hung your bananas from them. And apparently that sort of mimicked how they were in real life, and they'd stay better longer, yada, yada, yada. But this person just put a video camera live streaming bananas hanging from the hangers. And that's all that was showing up everywhere. And then Amazon was like, wait a minute, if we continue letting brand owners who are notoriously horrible content creators do this, Amazon Live Video is going to die before it starts. So that's when they started reaching out to influencers, because influencers are probably more content creators, and now it's doing amazing. So I think that's super on point, which you said. What would you tell a brand owner that doesn't believe they should invest in getting good at content creation? And do you think they should?
Absolutely. I definitely think they should, either to themselves or they hire a team to do it for them. What I love about online is that it's evergreen. Look, I owned a restaurant for 10 years of my life, and I used to have this joke in my restaurant where every day I bought this red button where I would just smash it every day, because I'm like, I'm hitting the reset button every day. I would just restart, same shit, different day, right? So like, I would do the same amount of sandwiches, same amount of smoothies. I know approximately I'm going to get 100 clients, but I had to put in the work every single day. Online, for the past few years, I make one video, and that video brings me clients for the next 5, 10, 15 years, because that video is consistently being watched. I don't have to redo the work. I don't have to recreate. I just have to create new content to come at it at a different angle. But even then, some videos are so evergreen that there's some channels for our students that literally have posted 3-4 years ago and still getting 100,000 views a day on their videos for the past 3 years. Jeez. So like, these videos, obviously right now they're sitting at like 97 million views. So they have a crap ton of views. But it does take, you do the video once. And that's what's beautiful about YouTube and all social media platforms. You create that video and it touches thousands of people. So like, for example, our first day, it could be, you know, whatever, $300. But then because the next day that video went viral, now you're making $3,000. And then, you know what I mean? And then it spreads like wildfire. And that's what's beautiful about social media. So people can create content and then share it. Sharing is the most important thing. People can put it on their stories. They have 500 followers and they all see it. This happens to me a lot. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, where a new friend buys something either off Amazon or buys something in general, and they post it in their story and you just reply to them. Where'd you get that? Dude, that's so cool. And then all of a sudden, you now have all their followers that are interested in that product. And it's this huge ripple effect that it could have if you do content correctly. And one thing to keep in mind, is content is to make people understand, and ads are to make people feel understood. So there's a specific way to create content to make people understand what the product is, or to make them understand what's going on. But I think it's super, super important whether you hire somebody to do it for you, you give them your vision, they create it, or you do it yourself and you learn. And at first, like everything else, we're going to suck at it. But over time, we get better and better and better. The more that we do it, the better we get.
I think that it's not the norm. What do you think? Like, I think it's not the norm for somebody to put in $300 on some content, and in a week or a month, they're making that amount and more on YouTube. Would you think that's the norm?
No. It does take time. YouTube is an exponential platform. So it's always about, not always, of course, if you know the recipe to the formula of virality, you could go viral on your first videos. We have some of our students, you know, 500,000 views on their first video. And then from there, just tripled, you know, 100,000, 200,000 views on every single video. It really depends on your content as well. But one thing to know, the average person on average will take you about a year, if you do it organically, to get to the point where you're making $3,000 to $10,000 a month. That's the average student. There's some students within 3 months, they're making $5,000 a month. And then there's some students that take a bit longer to get to there. Now, keep in mind, this is mixed with AdSense and affiliate products. So that is a bit of a mix. Now, depending on what you do, Carlos, if you are, let's say you're somebody on Amazon and you're coming in and you have a product, right? You could start generating sales from the first day that you're on YouTube. First day, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on any social media platform. On the first day, if you post a video, generally, almost every video you post and it does well will get you like okay, like just basic okay, 2,000 to 3,000 views. You only need 2 to 3 people to buy from you to make your first sale, right? Especially when it comes to Amazon or Shopify or whatever it may be. So you don't need thousands and thousands of people to watch your content before you get 1 or 2 sales. Well, I mean, you do need thousands, but in this case, the thousands come like this, right? In a heartbeat. I mean, you yourself, you post on YouTube, you have your shorts. You see how quickly sometimes one of the short can just pick up, get you 2,000 to 3,000 views. It's insane. It's actually insane. And sometimes some of my shorts I could show you in 1 hour got 900,000 views. And it went from zero. So like zero, 900,000 views.
And for anyone listening, there's some context here. Like when I say I launched my YouTube channel, what has it been now, you think? 2 months? It's about 2 months. And prior to that, it was just a spot where I would put these long form podcasts, which there might be some cool updates on that, or I'll mention another episode. But two months that I've actually been posting. And prior to that, and my team convinced me, like, for every episode we do, we're also going to put like 4 shorts out there. And I felt that shorts were what someone does who sucks at content creation and was lazy and didn't create long form. Was like, it's where people did shortcuts and hacks, and that's why you did shorts. There was no purpose for shorts. But I've really changed the way I'm thinking about this now. Right. I'm doing long form content, and our shorts currently are not created as a short. It's a clip from our long form. And
yes,
I'd love to know your take on that too. Like whether it's more advantageous to create a short specifically as a short versus cutting. But man, what you said about getting a few thousand views almost immediately, we're posting it and not even sharing it to a community, is 100% accurate.
Yeah.
I noticed that I also get a lot more subscribers from my shorts.
Yes.
At a higher rate than I do my long form video. Why is that?
Absolutely. So there's a few things. All right. So you just open up a huge can right now. When we're talking about shorts and long form, to me, it's my favorite topic to talk about. So let's start off with the first thing we mentioned, which is shorts. Is it, you know, kind of like an easier way than long form content, right? So a lot of people saw it was like, it was quick, it was easy, it's just a quick way of doing it. My opinion on that is that it's actually harder in a way, because you have to deliver more context and less content. Sorry, an equal amount of context and content in 60 seconds, which is not as easy as people think it is, right? Because shorts, the viral recipe is very simple. It's give a promise, deliver on the promise, end the video. It's as simple as that, right? So your second question is, should we clip out video clips from, let's say, a long form video and then repurpose it? That can work depending on what type of content you're creating. Generally, podcasts, that works really, really good. If there's something else super hot, they take it, they clip it up, and then they post it. But when we're talking about, let's say, your content specifically, I would highly recommend, if it's a how-to video, to create a how-to video specifically in short format. So it's really cut up for short. So the intro is really, there's a hook. Because if we're swiping, right, whenever I ask all you guys that are listening right now, and including yourself, Carlos, when you're swiping either on shorts, TikTok, Reels, wherever it may be, how long does it take before you to swipe up?
Sometimes it's like, sometimes it's close to instant. Yeah, instant. Yeah,
so then it's instant, right? So YouTube's metrics has to judge first and foremost off that. And that's what we call the swipe versus the viewed ratio. If your ratio is above 60% viewed and 40% swipe, that means that people are stopping to see what you're posting, which is telling YouTube that you have a pretty good intro, right? So if your intro is the promise, cool, this is amazing. They've stopped to watch. Now, what is the next metric they're looking for? Now they're looking at the retention rate. After they've stopped, did they watch all the way through? If your content doesn't reflect the promise you mentioned at the beginning, which is, let's say, a content that is repurposed, in a video that you make is 10 minutes long, for you to get the point across takes you about a minute, right? About sometimes. But in a short, that same minute has to be done in 15 to 20 seconds. So you have to repurpose the content, recreate it to make it very like appealing for the person. So not only do they stop, then they continue watching. Because the more that they watch, then YouTube knows that, hey, this is a good video. We should promote it to more people like this person. And then the third thing you mentioned was subscribers. You do get a lot more subscribers from shorts than long form, simply because the human behavior is different. So for shorts, the way it works at first, everybody gets generally promoted at first. You get a few thousand views really, really quickly, right? That's what we call the seed audience. YouTube is testing it on those people to see how they react. Did they swipe away or did they stop and watch? All right, metric number one, complete. Second metric, how long did they watch the video for? They watch it over 100%, did they watch the entire video, half the video, 20%, so on and so forth. Since we know all watch time is not created equally, I'm sure you've watched a 10-minute video or a 60-second video and it was completely useless, and you watched another 60-second video that almost changed your life. So the next metric YouTube judges that on is like, what did they do? Did they like? Did they comment? Did they subscribe? Did they share the video? That's actually a very big metric. Did they share it? If they did, now YouTube goes, ha, Carlos posted a really good video. All these people engaged with it. They liked, they commented, they subscribed, they shared, they did all that stuff. It reached the metrics. Let's blow it up to thousands and millions of more people, right? So the audience you're going to get from there, though, is completely different than long-form content. All right. Very rarely, if you're an entertainment niche, this doesn't apply to you. But anyone that's coaching or learning or anything like that, my recommendations currently always to separate your shorts channel and your long form channel. All right. This is my recommendation as of today, November 2nd, 2023. This isn't just, you know, obviously it's not evergreen. It might change over time. But based on what we've seen, based on 2.5 billion views that we've gathered and everything like that, we've noticed that putting them together on the same channel doesn't do anything, doesn't benefit you in any way. The only thing that it benefits you in is you have a lot of subscribers. That's the only thing you're going to get is a crap ton of subscribers from shorts. But we have a video right now. I did a channel audit on a 1.3 million subscriber channel. And what we did is we wanted to see if people that watch the shorts also watch the long form content. And we noticed that that was not the case whatsoever. 0% of viewers only watched videos. 1% of the 1.3 million watched videos and shorts, and 99% only watched shorts. So we've tested this on multiple channels now, and we've noticed that it's doing more harm to combine them than to separate them. So I would highly recommend, again, currently as of today, to separate them. The worst case scenario is you have two channels, which is also the best case scenario. So there is no downside to it. The only downside is you won't get 100,000 subscribers really quickly because it's not coming through shorts. But it's beneficial to you because it's a dopamine hit. Shorts is literally just giving you dopamine. It's like, here's subs. But then you post a piece of content that's 10 minutes long and the human behavior is like, I'm so used to watching 60-second videos that it's hard for me to go watch a 15-minute video. So I end up with a low retention rate, low click-through rate, and ends up destroying a really good video that you've created. So again,
I do see a lot of people separating shorts into a different channel. So we had a guest on the show, 2 months ago, and they're the owner of BattleBox, and it's a subscription box for like wilderness equipment. And they said they were doing phenomenal on TikTok, and TikTok obviously is, I don't know, short equivalent length video. And they decided their YouTube channel was at like, I forget the number, but it was like 80,000 subscribers, and it had been up for like 6 years.
Okay.
They had like a few long form videos, had been up there forever, and it got a lot of subscribers. They decided that they were going to sort of repurpose, if that's the right word, their shorts or their TikTok videos and add them over to shorts. A year later, they broke 1 million subscribers because they just had this massive bank of shorts content. They're saying now that YouTube is their number one referral of traffic to their subscription boxes, but they don't have any meaningful amount of long form content on their YouTube channel, BattleBox. So you're saying that if you have a channel for shorts and you have a channel for long form content, it's not, the short one is going to have more subscribers in the long form, but they're both going to bring customers?
Generally, yeah, they'll both bring customers. I mean, it's different type of audiences, right? So shorts bring a crap ton of audiences, a crap ton of clients, a lot. Like I've gotten a lot of clients from my shorts and I barely have any subs, right? With my face channel. So with that being said, I mean, yeah, absolutely. The only thing, again, if you separate them, he now has 1 million subs on that other channel, for example. Example, if he did separate them, and then the other channel would have, let's say, still at 60 or 80,000 subs, whatever it was at. So that's the only difference that I would see. But what I would ask from your friend is, does he post long form content on that channel? And if he still does, what are the results that he's getting? Because I know a channel with 1 million subs and they're literally getting 500 views on their long form videos, but getting tens of millions of views on their shorts.
No, I'm agreeing with that. Like even at a smaller level, like ours is, I think we're at almost 40,000 subs. Almost all of our subscribers have come through shorts. So I was like, oh my God, our live videos, when we go live, they're going to do so much better. Or the long form videos, when we put them out, they're going to be proportionate to that massive growth. I'd call massive, like thousands. And I'm like, maybe we get 5%, which I thought would have been amazing. But it's not there. It's probably not even 1%. It's an amount that could have come from anywhere else as well.
Correct.
So I totally see that. So with a channel, a brand that's saying, I'm going to start a channel about on my brand for bonsai enthusiasts, you know, I'm going to use the ASQ method. Should that start as a long form video channel or should it have shorts?
So it depends on your capability as well. So some people are not able to create 8 to 10 minute videos at first. So I highly recommend starting with shorts just to get the ball rolling. It gets you in the mood, gets you understanding YouTube, how to post, keeps you like consistent with posting, and just kind of getting used to the process of posting and creating content for your audience. And then once that's done, then switch over to long form. If you are ready to go long form, then go straight long form and then create a separate channel for shorts. If not, then yeah, just start with shorts, build that up, and then eventually go to long form.
Can you put links in the shorts?
You used to be able to put links. They recently removed them because of the amount of spam that's happening. I think they'll bring that back. The only thing that I have to still test that I haven't tested after I removed it is link in the first comment and then pin the comment. So that's super important, is anytime you post a short, go right away, put a comment and pin the comment, whether it's a call to action, whether it's an Amazon link, whether it's, you know, watch another video, ask a question, whatever you have to do, just do that. Because what happens generally when people watch a video on YouTube or Instagram or TikTok, we all go to the comment section. It's like a thing we do because we want to see what other people think.
I thought it was just me.
No. Yeah, it's everybody. There's actually, even on TikTok, anytime you go, you're like, who else is here in the comment section trying to figure this out? Or like, it's like a thing where like, if people watch a video, then they're curious to see what other people think about the video. And if you have no comments to start the rip, that you know how like sometimes you need one person to speak up so everybody else speaks up? So that's pretty much how it is. As soon as I go and I ask a question in my comments and I pin it, I get this like ripple effect of all these people replying to my comment and seeing like engaging with the actual question that I asked. So it's super helpful.
You mentioned a second ago, you said the channel of yours with a face.
Yes.
I think I know what you mean, but I don't want to like die. I don't know if that's something you share, but like, could you elaborate on that or?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah. So there's a model on YouTube called the faceless side. And this is what I also recommend for anyone that is doing content like this, that doesn't have time to be behind the camera and wants to create content for their product, right? So this is called the faceless YouTube way of doing things. People call it YouTube automation, you might have heard, or cash cow. I hate using those terms because it's not automated whatsoever. But point being, what you do is you hire four people. You need a video editor, a script writer, a voiceover artist, and a thumbnail designer. If you're using shorts, you don't need a thumbnail designer. You just need the first three. And you could go on Upwork, super cheap platform. You could use Fiverr, but a little more expensive. I like Upwork. Freaking love that website. You go and you hire these three people. And then what you do is you give them the idea. So you go to your script writer and you tell them, hey, I want to create a video about bonsai trees on how to use the proper soil. So the script writer's job is to go out there and create the entire script for you, whether it's a short or long piece of content. Create the entire script. You edit it. You kind of look over it a bit to make sure it's good. Then they hand it over to a voiceover artist. The voiceover artist then reads the entire script, has it as an MP3. Sends it over to the video editor. The video editor then goes ahead and edits the whole video with B-roll to match the visuals with the words. And that's it. And you, as the owner, all you do is upload the video. So I started doing that in 2017. And I do a lot of faceless channels. So I have everything with celebrities, sports, golf, tennis, baseball, whatever you really want. I mean, those are my students. We have baseball, tennis, and all that stuff. I personally have celebrity, crypto, networking, all that stuff. So yeah, it's a pretty cool concept, definitely, especially for those who don't have time to create content for themselves. You could just hire someone to do it for you, and you just have to overlook it. And you could even hire a channel manager, is what we call it, to overlook the project as well.
Tamer, I know that you have like, I know there's two chapters ahead, and we're talking about YouTube here. How can people listening to this, like, what are the offers that you have for somebody listening to this, even if they don't want to like hire you to maybe do the whole thing, but like get them started or a consulting, if you offer that or something like that, like what are the ways that you can help brand owners bridge that gap over to content creation and be successful on YouTube, whether it's faceless or not? How do they get a hold of you? And also how can you help?
Great question. Awesome. So to get a hold of me, you could find me everywhere and anywhere at Two Chapters Ahead. That's TWO, not the number two. You could probably find me with two, but two Chapters Ahead, anywhere and everywhere, LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you want. And on all these platforms, I share all my knowledge for free. Everything that is general, any information about YouTube, analytics, whatever it may be, I share that information for free. But if you ever want to contact me to hop on a one-on-one with me so I could, you know, give you a personal channel review or just help guide you, give you clarity on how to get started on YouTube, how to hire people, everything and anything, you could reach out to me on Instagram. That's the best place to reach out to me on Instagram, Two Chapters Ahead. Or there's even a link inside my bio, which is my link tree. It has all that information. You could join the Patreon. You could book a call with me directly from there. Or you could just send me a DM and then we could figure out what best package is for you. For everybody and anybody, I offer a 30-minute free session. No strings attached. There's no sales pressure, no calls. Don't even bring your credit card on the call. We're not going on a date. We're just chit-chatting. We're talking, making sure we're a good fit. And if we are, then we move on and we see which package is best for you. So I usually work one-on-one with the people, by the way.
Yeah, like I mentioned in the beginning of the show, we got on a call and ours was more of like we have a mutual friend in Fernando. You know, I was launched a YouTube channel and you dropped some stuff that is of higher quality of stuff that I normally pay for, to try to get. So like that free onboarding call, if you will, or get to know each other call, I suspect the person is going to leave with a lot of value. In addition to that, like we mentioned, you're going to be a regular guest on the Wizards of Econ podcast. I'm assuming my listenership just massively spiked when you dropped the hot term right now, faceless YouTube channel. Yes. Right. So like, I think we need to do a standalone episode on that, because now when I talk about YouTube in the group, they're like, you mean faceless, you know, like in a frenzy.
Yeah. Yo, let's do that. That would be good. I have so much. So I've coached over 1,100 students in the faceless YouTube side. So I've seen everything and anything, every niche, every idea, every graph, every analytic. So I would be more than happy to share that with your audience as well.
Yeah, I want to do that. I want to get something on the books almost immediately for here on the podcast that like talk about faceless, like so I can just share it with everybody and so that I can learn. Obviously, that's why we do this. Samer, what did you mention the best way for somebody to get a hold of you right now?
Yeah, so Two Chapters Ahead on Instagram. That would probably be the best way to do it. And then again, anywhere you could reach out to me, Facebook, whatever is best for you. I'm on every platform. Just as soon as you send me a message, just send me, either comment on my post, say, check your DMs, and I'll be checking it out.
I got my pen out for this next one. What is your favorite book and why? I want to know.
My favorite book is called Influenced, The Psychology of Persuasion. So that was probably one of my favorite books because I'm all about human behavior. I really like to understand why people do things. That's the main secret to unlocking YouTube virality, because you're just dealing with humans and you're trying to understand their behavior, why they take an action, why they click on your video, why they keep watching your video, and so on and so forth. And that book has really stood out to me because it really made me understand why humans make decisions and what influences them to say yes to things. Of course, there's a list of other books that I can mention right now, but if you like my favorite one that everyone asks me about, it's definitely Influenced, The Psychology of Persuasion.
We could get the rest of those books from you on Online Seller Cruise. Yes. I've not read this specific one, but it's the type of book that I really like. So I'm going to go ahead and add this to my list. My wife's not going to be happy with you for that we're going to spend some money on a book, but
hey, you'll be able to convince her right after you read that book.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, you'll be good. You'll be off the hook.
All right, man. I look forward to this releases on Monday. Everybody listening to this, it's a couple of days after we recorded, but the Jennifer, I think it's Jennifer Hoyos, her amazing shorts masterclass is coming out. I look forward to brainstorming that with you early next week around the time that this drops and see what we can learn.
Yes, absolutely. Likewise, man. And just one thing is, guys, everybody, if I could encourage you, if there's one thing you can take away from this call, is please get started. Create content for your product. It's super easy. It's super simple. If everybody has a phone, just pick up your phone and record anything and everything and just post it up there, because the hardest videos to post is your first video. Once you post that first video, then it just starts and it kind of, ripple effects. So that'd be, if you could take one thing away, is please get started.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time. I look forward to having you back on the show soon.
Thank you for having me, Carlos. It was an absolute pleasure.